Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Today I want to share a lesson with you entitled, When Your King Comes In. Say, when my king comes in. Amen. We call this Palm Sunday. I want to explain to you why we call it Palm Sunday and offer what I think would be an interesting perspective on why we use the word and the phrase Palm Sunday. All right, Luke chapter 19, verse 29. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat, or a donkey. Loose it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it. Verse 35. Then they brought him to Jesus, the donkey. And they threw their clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. It says in verse 38, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. Let's take John's gospel on this also. John 12, verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Amen. Question, what should we do when our king comes in? What did they do when their king came in? Well, you see what happened. But I want us to understand that behind this story are many great lessons. First of all, is that Jesus is a king like no other. We say king, we don't mean king like kings of this world. A king like no other. Jesus is not a king who comes to conquer. He's not a king who arrives in opulence and demands servitude. Not a king like that. Jesus is a king who serves, who saves, and empowers his followers. Is that true? Has King Jesus saved you? Does he serve you? Does he empower you? Amen. The thing about kings today and in those times, kings are kind of, it's a word called petulant. That's a word that means childlike, you know, selfish and whiny, like some kings we've, you know, recently seen, you know, some rulers we've, you know, and selfish and self-centered and everybody's wrong and I'm always right, that kind of thing. Petulant, childlike. But Jesus is not petulant, amen. He's a king like no other, amen. So now, let me say this to you then. When King Jesus comes in, he rides on the faith of worshipers. In that text, what you see is Jesus riding in on a donkey, but moreover, he is riding on the wave and on the worship of people of faith. Take that to heart, please. Take that to heart. Realize that he rides on faith. And so the expression of all you see with the donkey and following instruction to get the donkey and to lay out the clothes and the palm branches being broken off and waved, all of that was not just a church service. It was an expression, a spontaneous expression of the faith of the people. And Jesus received it. Listen, y'all, we know he's God because he received worship. He's not God. If he wasn't God, he would not receive worship. Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is the one God. Amen. So that Jesus, people try to say, well, he's not God. Well, then why did the, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, and God said to my God. God said to my God, sit at my right hand. So you know, Jesus, we know this, but people who are skeptical will say he's just a man. He's God and man. God and man. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we know all that. But the thing is, Jesus rides on the faith of worshipers. And as we get into this story, let me share with you three things to keep in your heart and mind. Understand, because we want him to enter our circumstances. Like he entered Jerusalem, we want him to enter our lives, enter our challenges, enter our our work environments. Amen. Enter our understanding and our relationship. So three things. First of all, follow his instructions. Say, Lord, help me follow your instructions. Number two, demonstrate your faith. Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Now, we talked some weeks ago, two kinds of faith. There's the faith where you believe. Faith as belief. I believe the right things. But there's faith as an act. We're acting on, or have faith in God. And that is an action word. So then we want to demonstrate faith. Faith is not what I believe if I don't walk it out. What you believe is important. But the real work of faith is not just believing it, but what? Walking it out. Amen. Third point here is that we worship from our heart and with our substance. So we see in the text that people worship not just with their voices, but then they brought something to the experience. They brought themselves and they brought other things with them for that worship experience. Now understand this, in that day, in our day, many cultures, people understood the principle of honor and protocol of entering the presence of elders and kings. Now, we don't have as much in this country. Other cultures have a lot better, where elder people are honored and revered. People stand up, amen, when elder people come in or when officials come in, because that honor is there. Our culture really lacks that in many ways. But the people then knew it. So then when they heard, after all Christ had done for 3.5 years, when they heard he was coming into the city, they began to gather, you know, began to get ready for him to come. And because that was the protocol, they were willing and understood that this is Messiah. This, and even those who didn't know who he was exactly, knew he was somebody great, somebody worthy of recognition. So there was great honor that went forth. So then Jesus, then, we see he came to save souls. But I saw more in this text. We'll see in a moment here. He also came to restore the concept of servant leadership. Say servant leadership. Those of us who are leaders, let me tell you, leader is the shorthand. The full title is servant leader. You don't need a leader who's not a servant leader. You need servant leaders, not just leaders. Leaders may be selfish, may be motivated just by what they want to get out off of you, but a servant leader is going to serve you. Now, again, we don't use the whole phrase, but we mean to say, we say leader, we mean to say servant leader. Amen? I'll give you an example. I'm not being political. It's a point, okay? President Obama was a servant leader, is a servant leader to this day. The man that followed him is not a servant. He's just a leader. Big difference. Because people who serve, no matter what your office is, high office, low office, no office, they're always serving, making somebody's life better, reaching out, making a difference. Amen, somebody? So that's a great example. So Jesus then came to show us that this concept, even in this whole entry into Jerusalem, that day he came in for the last time, you'll see in here how he showed the example of a servant leader. So here's some points. Now, Jesus Christ could have ridden in on Arabian stallions. They had them back then. Huh? I mean, he could have found the best, biggest, most, you know, beautiful horse in that area. He could have ridden in on a horse, you know. He could have arrived in an entourage, you know, with gold chariots and people running in front of him, blowing horns and stuff, all that. But he chose to ride on a donkey. The donkey was not some cheap thing. You'll see in a moment, the donkey was an expensive item. It was a precious and important item so that servant leaders are going to take the lower road, not the lowest road, but the road that makes sense, what's reasonable, what's right. So the thing is, he chose not to come in on stallions and entourages. He came riding a donkey because he wanted to show people, this is where I'm living, where most of you all live, right here. I'm not poor. I'm not rich. I'm where you are. Amen. I don't bring you down if you're rich. I don't demean you if you're poor. I'm going to bring you up if you're poor. If you're rich, I'm going to hold you accountable. You get the message now? Jesus was poor. He wasn't poor. Listen, y'all, when Jesus was when he was crucified, they gambled for his garment. What did I say? You know why? He wore a seamless garment. It's hard to make a seamless garment, y'all. No stitches, not pieces. So the point is, he wasn't poor, but nor was he rich in the sense of like the world looks at riches. He was right where he wanted people to be. Not too high and not too low. Not glorifying and being broke or brag about being rich. But Pastor, the Bible says, blessed are the poor. It did not say that. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit. If you think poor is being blessing, you've not been poor enough. Ain't no blessing in being in poverty. Amen. Now I've never been in poverty. I've been poor, I think. I felt like I was poor. It wasn't a blessing, you know. Those of us who've had money, got money, and things got low, you know what I'm saying? You know, the old saying is, your outgo is more than your income, and your upkeep is your downfall. You figured out what I just said. Even in those times, leaning to God, when you can't pay a bill or do some things you want to do, that's not a good feeling. So the point is, listen, y'all, God wants us to get a hold of the fact that when we're worshipers and we're givers, we have a heart to honor and please God. Say, I have a heart to honor and please God. Amen. And you see that in the text. As he entered the city, there was the honor, there was the giving, there was the praise that went forth. So then, here's some points. How do you receive your King Jesus? How do you receive? Again, our topic is when your King comes in. So what should we look like? How should we respond when the King comes in? Number one, obey the Lord. In our text, the instruction there said, he told them, he says, now go to the village opposite you, and whereas you enter, you'll find a colt tied. So the first thing was to obey the Lord. Say, I will obey. Number two is pay attention to detail. They said, find a colt tied, right? Get permission of the owner. Because, listen, y'all, you know how we are. If he had said, go get me a donkey, oh, that's easy. They walking everywhere. I'm going to just grab the first one I see. He was very specific because he knew the person, he wasn't going to steal nobody's donkey. He would borrow the donkey. But he wanted them to have the instruction and the detail to go to the village, the next one over, and find one tied, ask the owner, all this. If they ask you, what are you doing? Say, you know, the Lord has need of him. So all these instructions are a part of his servant leadership example, giving them example how to be a servant leader, follow protocol, obey, follow instructions. And the third point here is to operate under God's authority. So when the owner says, why do you need him? Why are you doing this? He says, the Lord has need of it. And so then the point is there that we do things under instruction. We do things decent and in order. We don't assume anything. We ask. We ask. And we explain why. So people know that we're coming not in our own authority, but as the Lord's representative. Number four, understand sacrificial giving. This is so good right here. Because in all that would happen in that day, of all the things given, all the things done, two things stood out. First of all, was that this unnamed owner loaned his donkey to Jesus, or gave him to Jesus for that purpose. The second thing was that as the worship began, and worship began to break out in a spontaneous way, people broke off the palm branches and waved them and all this, but some people took off their own clothes and spread them on the ground like a red carpet treatment with their own clothes. They spread their own clothes on the ground. And the donkey, with Jesus on his back, rode across the people's clothes. Now stop for a moment. You know, we can let's think that through as Americans. Amen. Because if you were there, if I was there, what would you do? What would I do? Amen. Jesus is coming. Galen, give me your coat. Give me your coat. You know what I'm saying? I ain't doing that. No. You know, it sounds, things sound wonderful when you imagine it and you read this. Oh, what a, they put their clothes down. Oh, wait, they laid their clothes. Wow, he gave his donkey. Whoa, what would you do in the moment? So then, first of all, sacrifice is not. Again, the man sacrificed the donkey. They sacrificed the clothes to just as a red carpet treatment. Some had palm branches, okay, other things. But listen, y'all, a sacrifice is not this. When you say, okay, I don't want to do it, I'll do it anyway. That's no sacrifice. A sacrifice is not doing something you don't want to do. Please hear that. People got the wrong idea. Oh, man, I got building fund. Oh man, I had a mission offering. Oh boy, I don't want to do this. I don't want to give no money, but I'm going to sacrifice and give it, you know. Oh yes, you ain't doing nothing. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Years ago, I heard a brother say, offering a minister, you know, somebody complained about, you know, what you doing with the offering I gave you? Did you give it? Or was it a loan? When you give, it's not yours anymore. If you're really going to give it, release it. And trust in the first place. Where you're sowing, amen. Don't come back and say, well, I gave this, and what you going to do now? See, you know, we all know this as pastors and churches and organizations sometimes. People want to give you money to like foreign aid. You know why America gives money to countries? The reason America gives money to foreign countries, not out of goodness of our hearts only, but that we can control them. If you don't do what we want you to do, we're going to take our money. No more money coming to you. If you don't straighten up, fly right, by our. So now, but you can't do a ministry like that. And ministries who understand God won't be done. Like you can't do us like that. You're not going to come and say, you know, I gave you this much, now do this for me. No, it don't work like that. So then, why a sacrifice is not doing what you don't want to do. A sacrifice, watch this, slide back up in again. A sacrifice is offering up something costly and precious. What is a sacrifice, class? What's the sacrifice? What is it? Amen. That's a sacrifice. That donkey was a sacrifice. Those clothes were a sacrifice. The palm branches, a little bit. Wasn't very costly, though. I mean, just snatch one off a tree, off your neighbor's tree, you know what I'm saying? So understand that this whole issue of what to do when your king comes in, I'm asking us to challenge ourselves, challenge our thinking, our conventional thinking about what it means to worship God. All right, the fifth point to what to do when your king comes in. Number five, remember the blessings of God in your life. The Bible says that as he began to come in, they began to rejoice. Now watch this. They weren't only praising God or praising Jesus. They were thanking God for all the things he had done for them. The sight of Jesus reminded them of how good God has been to them. You get that? You know, sometimes we'll be in service or someplace and just get happy because the thought of how God has saved us, kept us, healed us, saved our lives, literally from accidents and death and sickness and disease. And so when they saw Jesus, all those thoughts rushed back into their minds. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, they went on up, went on up, went on in and began to celebrate. And that's how you receive Jesus. Number six here is the worship and the praise. This is directed really toward him directly. Again, the other one was more about the works of God. This one is toward him. It says, Hosanna. Hosanna means, oh, save. Just save, save, save. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. This is how we receive the King when he comes in. And this text shows us. Now, here's a picture I found. It's a picture from an African-American artist, you know, black Jesus. Everybody in there is black. Amen. So, you know, everybody has their own. We see Christ in our own context. Amen. Because every other picture you ever see is a different situation. Amen. So I just pulled this one out. I searched for it. Amen. Looked for it. Had to look a long time to find one like this. Amen. All right. But notice this, though. Here's a point I make to you, though. So we call it Palm Sunday because of the palm branches that were broken off and both waved and laid before Christ. So we know this, that people, some people, you know, that area, that region of the country had palm trees, like Florida, South France, places like that, Mediterranean area, they have palm trees. And so people took palm branches and waved them. Now, we have in churches today, somewhere all across the city and country, you know, children are waving palm branches. We call it Palm Sunday. I do believe at the time it was an expression of their faith and worship. They began to wave. Nobody said, hey, y'all, let's get some palm branches and begin to wave them and lay them down. No, that wasn't what happened. It was a spontaneous thing. I get that. But let me say this to you. It's curious to me, though, that has become the theme of this Sunday before Easter, because the real sacrifice came from the man whose donkey was borrowed, his car, his pickup truck, if you will. Donkey like a pickup truck. And also the people who laid their own clothes down. I mean, those were more sacrificial, all right? And I like this idea too, this concept that, you know, we focus on the palm branches, you know? And in our culture, in our popular culture and church culture, we've made that the symbol of Palm Sunday. You know, the palm branches, the least expensive, the easiest thing, we make that the object of the worship experience. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm saying, let's just rethink this somewhat, because that's a commentary on the level of our faith and worship. You know, throw God a tip, toss a palm branch over in there. You know, but not wrong, but is that the best you can do? The equivalent of a palm branch, whatever we have today that's like a palm branch, well, I know we can do better. So then, you know, in that day, this donkey owner knew something. In that day, when a king or an official asked you for something, you just did it. It was a protocol. If he asked, if you perceived it was from somebody at a high level, you did that out of honor and respect. The culture kind of required you to be obedient that way to those types of leaders. And so, but yet what this man did in our hearts, it changed the course of history. It fulfilled prophecy. And I want you to understand that when God lays on your heart to do something sacrificial, it may be costly. It may be difficult to do. But when you do it, it helps you and helps other people, and it changes the perception of what it means to serve God. Amen, somebody? So now, a little funny question is, so what would we call Palm Sunday if we recognize the greater cost of faith and worship? Next slide. Would we call it Car Sunday? Would it be Donkey Sunday? Now, if Palm Sunday is about what we offer to God, so I ask us to challenge ourselves in our thinking, because the unknown person who allowed his donkey to be used offered the greatest sacrifice. Also, I think this, he's the most significant person in the story other than Jesus. An unnamed man. Didn't see him. Well, couldn't see him, but maybe he was in the crowd. I don't know. All we know is he gave the animal on which Jesus rode. And so that fact makes him a figure of history, and so much so until when you look back in history, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, watch this. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey." Isn't that something? That was a prophetic statement. And so that when that man was tasked and asked to give his donkey, he became a part of prophetic purpose. And I pray that all of us become a part. Well, we are, I believe, in some ways, but even more so, a part of prophetic purpose. Listen, y'all, when you are a doer of the word, you become a part of prophetic purpose. Say it, when I'm a doer of the word, I become a part of God's prophetic purpose. Yeah, amen. You know, when the people were there and day of Pentecost, the Spirit poured out, Peter said, "Oh, this is that of which the prophet Joel spoke. This is it. It's happening now." Because he knew the word, became a part of prophetic purpose. So then when he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," he's talking to you. He's talking to me. Amen. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked. He's talking to us. Preach the gospel in Jerusalem or Indianapolis, Jerusalem, you know, Marion County, Judea, Indiana, other parts of the world, Africa, wherever. So we get to be a part of prophetic purpose. But you know what, though? You can't get to Africa on palm branch sacrifice. Amen. It takes some donkey sacrifice, amen, to get to places and do things that are challenging. Let me finish up here. So my question again, if you or I had been there, what would you have given? Well, answer the question this way. What do you give today? Because we're not going to do anything different. Jesus is coming. It won't change anything. Whatever we're doing right now, we're going to do in the future. That's why it's important to get how we're going to serve and live and give. Do it now. Right? Don't say, "Well, I'm not going to get saved now because I'm going to have some more fun, but I'll get saved just before he comes back." No one actually says that. But folk live like it, you know. You know, I'll be ready when he comes. Well, he's coming as a thief in the night. He's coming quickly. It don't mean he's coming tomorrow. I mean, when he comes, like this. There's no getting ready. Amen? Either one is ready or one is not. You know, if you fly, take flights, you know, unless you got a private plane, they ain't waiting for you. I missed a flight one time. You only miss a flight one time. If you got any sense in your head, you only going to miss a flight once. Because the experience of missing it is so bad. You know, can you bring the plane back or reopen the door? They tell you when the door closes, we won't open it, which is not really true. If you got enough money, they open the door. If you somebody, they'll back the whole plane up. But for regular folk like us, all right, you better get there before the door closes. The point is, if you had been there during that entry of Christ with all the celebration, people giving their clothes and all the things he did, what would you have done or given? The answer is, well, whatever you're doing today, you would have done then. Let's just do what we can do today, amen, and receive the best that God has to offer. All right, let's finish up here. So then, listen, y'all, it is time for us to prepare the way for Jesus through raising the level of our serving and giving and worship. Say, Father, help me raise the level of my serving, my giving, and my worship. Again, behold, your king is coming, and he is just and having salvation. So my advice to you is put that little palm branch down and go get something that's truly sacrificial, truly worthy of the Lord and of your best effort, and most of all, of our faith. If you have big faith, you serve big, you give big, amen? You embrace people big, because we serve a big God. And we have received the biggest blessing of all. Hey, y'all, he has saved us. Anybody been literally saved by God? I mean, we're saved in our spirit, but has God saved your physical life ever? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so we're not paying God for anything. We're just saying, Lord, thank you. In light of all you've done, I'm excited about blessing you, serving you, about worshiping you and giving to you and blessing others, because that's what happens when the King comes in. Can you say amen? Father, thank you, Lord, for reminding us that this Palm Sunday is a tradition. But Lord, the deeper truth is that you're calling us to raise the level of our worship, of our giving, of our serving. Lord, we read that text and rejoice with the occasion and the spontaneous worship, and nobody was being cajoled or coerced. They just wanted to do it. And Lord, even to this day, we have that joy of serving, joy of giving. The opportunity is presented, but no one's going to pull on us and make us. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to worship. We want to do your will.